record and say a very warm welcome. Is it okay if we're blessed this morning? Is it okay, Julian? Okay if we're challenged? Stretched a bit? I could do with some stretching. You know, one of the things that I am blessed with, you may not agree, is a loud voice. So we don't have to worry about the heater, because you should be able to hear my dulcet tones. And one of the good things about not having notes is that you can truly say out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. I was reminded from the testimony that Chrissy brought with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego when they were in the fire. Not when they were in by the fireplace warming their hands, but when they were in the fire. The king said, wasn't there three? How come I can see four? And that's one of the truths that we need to grab hold of in our generation. That we may not understand fully what God has in store for us, but we are going from glory to glory. Yes? So God is a good God. So I want to continue in Luke 17. Mike brought us an overview some weeks ago, and I did say that I'll just go through these scriptures, not line by line, but just bringing the emphasis, what it's trying to say, and just bring it into a context. I hope that will encourage us, challenge us, and enable us to change. Because one of the things that struck me as a young Christian was I would go from church to church and I was hungry for God, and I was, like Ken said last week, I was hungry for his word, and I'd devour it day after day, and I wouldn't read it, but I'd have headphones on with tapes in them days, and then we went on to CDs and they were online. That's how old I am. But the word went in, and if it doesn't go in, it can't come out. Yes? So if out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, it has to be in the heart to start with. So it's important to be like Paul, where he says, I preach Christ and him crucified. So we want to read scripture, we want to understand scripture, but we also want to put it into where we can grow from it today. And I want to read this portion of scripture to us. And it continues in Luke 17, verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And you need to understand, just to pause here, the relationship that the Jews and the Samaritans had. They saw them as, not very nice word, but as half-breeds, as less than. So they didn't associate. And over the years, they developed a hatred, a true hatred for one culture and another culture. So this isn't just Jesus going, let's go for a walk. You know I'm going to crucifixion. I know I'm going to be in glory. I know I'm going to the place where I'm ultimately going to pay the price for humanity's depravity. But let's go this way. Let's go through an area where people don't like us. Nothing happened by chance in the ministry of Jesus. And we will understand as we look through this story. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. One of the good things, one of the only good things about leprosy is it was, it brought people together regardless to what their beliefs were, what their status was, what they had before they had the disease. It brought a commonality, if that's the right word. They had something in common. They were all unclean. They were all doomed to this life of loneliness. And all they had was each other. So just get the picture. He's in a place he shouldn't be. And here comes 10 men that shouldn't even be in distance to others who are deemed to be healthy. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, so they observed the law where they had to stand so many paces from anyone who didn't have the disease. And they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master! Have pity on us. Have mercy on us. Have compassion on us. Lord, help. You know, there's times in my life, and I don't know if it's your life, but as I said, I'm privileged to have a loud voice, so I can't keep any secrets. Because even when I whisper, I'm loud. So I can't keep any secrets. But I do know this, that if I was in trouble and I called for help, if there was anyone in a certain distance from me, they would hear me. And that's how these people were. They didn't just think, Jesus, we've heard these wonderful things about you. Come and have mercy on us. Just like the blind man Bartimaeus, if you know the story, he's on the edge, isn't he? He's there, he's blind, he's heard about Jesus, he's coming by and he says, Jesus! And he shouts. And those around him say, be quiet, be quiet. And there's times where we need to call out to our Lord and our Saviour. You know, I was sharing at men's breakfast yesterday that, you know, I took a wedding some time ago, or didn't take a wedding. I blessed the wedding, that it was a non-Christian wedding, but they wanted to have some input from a minister. So they asked me to pray for them as a couple. They asked me if I would pray that God would bless their marriage. And then they asked me to pray over the food. And I said, Lord, Father God, I thank you for this provision of food, blessed food to our bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. And this young lad, about 6 or 7, went, who's Jesus? Who's Jesus? And the fact is this, there is a generation that has never heard who Jesus is. Because when we talk about God, we know who we're talking about, don't we? When we was at school, whether we understood or not, when we heard about God, we knew it was the God of the Bible. We're now, which God? Which of the many thousands of deities are you talking about? Which idol? Which God? So these people understood who God was. He understood what this man represented. They understood that this man could forgive sins, that this man could heal the sick, that surely this man must be from God. So they shouted from a distance, have mercy on me. And there are times for me in my life, and maybe for you in your life, where you feel, well, I've asked God for so much, then, you know, he knows. The Bible says he knows our thoughts, so he knows what I need. He does. But the Bible also says you have not because you ask not. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. It's a relationship, isn't it? You know, when the chick in the nest opens its beak, it's calling for food. And the parent come along and they feed. But there comes a point, especially with the eagles, that are the magnificent bird, where they go, enough's enough, out you go. And you have to find your own way in life. Learning that if you call, then mother, father will hear. And it's the same with our relationship with God. So these men, they had a debilitating disease. Just imagine that they lost all sense of feeling in their fingers and their toes and their noses. And so they could put their hand into fire and not feel the effects of the fire, but there would be an effect on them, that their skin would fall off of their bodies. And it was a debilitating disease. And thankfully, even though we still have it in the world today, there is a way of putting it at bay, and in some areas curing it. So we have come a long way. But in this day, they were certainly doomed, and they needed a miracle. And they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master. And that's an important point as well, just to say Master. They understood, Lord, have mercy on us. Have compassion on us. Have pity on us. When he saw them, this is Jesus, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, understand this. This is when somebody had an ailment, an illness, a boil, they had a system where they needed to prove that they were clean, they had to go to the priest. And they had to show themselves to prove that they were healed, that they were well. And they wouldn't go, obviously, until they were. But Jesus wasn't saying this. He was saying something different. They were still leprous. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. Then it says something interesting. As they went, they were cleansed. As they went. And the Bible teaches us, it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. So what we have here is 10 men who trusted in this stranger. They'd only heard about him. They'd never met him, until this time. But they heard that this man heals sin. This man cleanses the leper. This man raises the dead. They knew that this man could do what this man said he could do. And so they believed. And that's faith, isn't it? That's faith. If I ask you to do something and you do it without question, you're trusting that what I'm saying is true. And that's what's happening to these 10 men. And I find it very interesting that they had to do something before they got healed, in the sense they were still in their sickness They were still in their condition, and yet they turned from him and went. And that shows me that they had faith. And for us, the Lord will ask us to do something. And maybe we're one of two sorts of people. One, we'll say, yes, Lord, here I am, send someone else. I'll follow them. If it works for them, then I'll join them. If it works, then I'll give to the cause. There are others that go, I'm not sure if that's God's voice. Maybe I ought to put out another fleece. And it's okay to put out a fleece. It's okay to have two or three witnesses. Because when we're called by God to do something, we need to really be sure it's him. But in certain circumstances, we don't have time to do that. So if we believe God is telling us, asking us, instructing us, commanding us to do something, then if we do what he's called us to do, then maybe on the journey we'll see the miracle. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, he saw he was healed, came back praising God. That's a good thing to do, in a loud voice. In other words, just as he called out, Jesus, have mercy on me, he wanted to let everybody know that this miracle had happened, that I am clean, I am set free. I can now get on with my life. And he came back praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet, thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And there's no coincidence that that's just put in, he was a Samaritan. Because remember the relationship that the Jews and the Samaritans had. And when we look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, we get the picture that, you know, God wants us to have a compassionate heart. Regardless to where we're from, who we are, what our age group is, what our demographics are, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, whether we're black, whether we're white, whatever. God is the God of equality. We're all sinners saved by grace. And that's the truth of it. And yet this Samaritan came back. And then listen what Jesus says. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? It's a reasonable question, answer, I suggest. So let's say that all of us today, we pray for something supernatural that only God can do. And by the time we leave this building, the answer is given and we receive it. Would you thank God? Would you not praise his name? Would you not jump up and down? And as reserved as we are in the UK, would you not be going, he's answered my prayer? So Jesus is saying, we're the whole 10 cleansed. These other 9 lepers, we understand, were also healed. Yet one came back giving thanks. Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Question. Has no one returned to give thanks to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, the one who was cleansed, rise, go, your faith has made you well. When you look at some commentaries, whether I've got this right or I haven't, the principle is there. Jesus says to the man who's paralyzed, get up and walk. Yes? In the New Testament. Also says that I have the authority, Jesus says, to say your sins are forgiven. But so that you know the Son of Man has the authority to heal, get up and walk. So this places in the New Testament where get up and walk and your sins are forgiven are amalgamated, they come into one. So I suggest there's something different here for this one who came back to give thanks than there was the others. I suggest, and look into this, that the other 9 were cleansed externally. This one was cleansed internally. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, your faith has made you well. It's impossible to please God without faith. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, it goes on. So I want to talk briefly about being thankful, about praising God in the circumstances. Because one of the things, it doesn't say it here, but one of the things we could imagine is they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, help. And he did. Go and show yourselves. We're going to receive our healing. And off they went. And I'm sure they were in a happy mood. in Psalm 84 verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in the house. They are ever praising you. And when you look through scripture, it talks about the house of the Lord being a tent or being a temple, being a structure. But it also talks about the house of the Lord being you and me, like living stones. Yes, we are a holy temple being joined together, being built up. But those that are in the house of the Lord, we could say we're in the house of the Lord today. Why? Because where two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst of them. If he's here, then he's dwelling here. If he's dwelling here, then that's his home. Because Jesus does not just stay in one place. We don't need to go to a temple, do we? We don't need to go to a priest, do we? No. That's the answer. Why? Because when he said it's finished, the curtain that separated you and I from him was torn, gave us access. We become priests. We become priests. Blessed are those who dwell in the house. So we are blessed. This time we may not feel blessed. Does it change the fact that we are blessed? Blessed are those that dwell in the house. You stay close to me, I'll stay close to you, the Bible says. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I in you, you in me in my Father. We're all connected, Jesus says. So we are blessed. And we have an obligation, I suggest, to praise him in all circumstances. We don't need to praise him for all circumstances. We don't need to say, Lord, I've just broken my leg, thank you. No. Lord, I thank you, it's just my leg and not my arm. Father, I thank you that you know the beginning from the end. And I don't need to teach you how to pray. But I want to encourage you to praise. I want to encourage you. I don't wake up in the morning with a coat hanger going, you know, everything is good. But I wake up in the morning saying, you are good. I don't wake up saying, nothing's changed. I say, you never change. I don't wake up in the morning going, I have everything I need. Lord, you are everything I need. And there's times, Ken brought it out last week and I thought it was so apt, where we talked about sowing seeds of whether it's goodness, it's mercy, or it's finances. There's seed time and harvest. And there are some of you in this room today that are struggling in certain areas. But because you sowed years ago, that harvest is going to come about. And that's not me being poetic or prophetic. That's the truth of God's word. There is an individual in this room, and I'm not going to embarrass them, but during worship the Lord said, I saw your heart many years ago. I know your family history on the mission field. I understand the brokenness, but you've sown and you're going to reap. And that's true for all of us, isn't it? It's true for all of us. So we are in the house of the Lord and we are to ever praise him, even though we go through tough circumstances. That's the truth of the gospel. If anyone tells you, come to Jesus and all will be well, they're lying. Because Jesus says, you will have trouble. You will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I will be with you and I've overcome the world. Even though you're in it, I've overcome it. There is a dwelling place for you. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't have told you. There's a mansion with many rooms and one of them has your name on it. Oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory? See, for us as Christians, we have so much to praise God for. I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago and I said about the word Christian and they said, I don't call myself a Christian. I call myself a child of God. And do you know what got me thinking? Because I believe that the word Christian has been hijacked. It's been hijacked. And I promise not to be political, but so is the rainbow. The rainbow is God's promises. I don't care about the other stuff. That doesn't affect me. But the rainbow is God's promise. Christian are followers of Christ, but we are children of God, aren't we? So this truth is for me and you. I'm sorry if I get excited, but I do like God's word. In Luke 5, verse 23, which is easier to say? Just to back up my words with his words, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man, Christ Jesus, has authority on earth, that's where we live, to forgive sins. And he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up and walk. Take your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them and took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. He had to get to a point, I suggest, where he believed what he was being told. Get up. So he got up. The miracle was in the getting up, wasn't it? Because his faith was rewarded. And then the gift he gave back was to praise God. Not a God, but the God. The living God. Everyone was amazed and they gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today. Look what has happened." So for us, I want to encourage you that when God moves in your life, whether you can see it or you can't, we praise him. See, our faith will compel us to praise him before we get the answer to our prayers. When we say, "Lord, you know the need financially," we praise him. The Bible says something like this: "Pray as if your prayers have been answered." So what that means to me is this. I say, "Lord, you know my financial need. You know my spiritual need. You know my physical need. You know my mental and emotional need." And then, after I prayed that prayer, I go, "Lord, I thank you for meeting my need. Lord, I thank you for the things you've given me. Lord, I thank you for the air that I breathe. Lord, I thank you for the sun that shines on me. Lord, I thank you for the rain when it falls. Lord, I thank you for the trial and tribulation because it will produce a character within me. Lord, I thank you that you've never left me. You're there with me." Do you get the point? And I know I'm laboring it, but for us as Christians, if we only praise God when we see the answer to prayer, we'll miss the miracle. For us, we are to praise him and give him thanks, believing that our prayer has been answered. Because we don't know the time, do we? "But Lord, it's been 10 years. Well, day is like 1,000 years. You've got a bit of time left." Some of us won't see the answer to our prayers this side of eternity. But that's why we have hope, isn't it? That's the gospel that we preach. You know, it is true, the fields are ready for harvest. And God is looking for harvesters. And I believe in my heart for such a time as this, it's important for us to preach the truth, to know the truth, to absorb the truth, and to relay the truth to others. And the truth is that we are all sinners saved by grace. But the truth is that we are the head and not the tail. "Give thanks to the Lord," it says in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." When we look at some of the Old Testament scripture, when we look at some of the Psalms and the Proverbs, and we look at what Jesus is saying, it's so easy to miss what's being said. Indulge me. I will struggle pronouncing some of these names, but let me just read this portion of scripture out. I'll do my best to get through it quickly. It's verse 16, starting at verse 1. We're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. And when you think about the representation of the Ark, you think about the beauty of the gold overlaying the acacia wood, you think about the tablets, you think about the promises, you think about the mercy seat, you think about the covenant God has with his people. And they understood that they was in the presence of the Lord. Now for us, we're in the presence of the Lord, aren't we? Because we have to believe the word is true or not. Is it true? So he's with us, yes. He dwells in our hearts. He dwells in our midst. We are born of his spirit. We have a part of him within inside of us, quickening, convicting and convincing us. So just imagine these men had faith. These men understood what it was they were carrying. They understood what was in their presence. Now just put you in the place and let's just listen to what they've said. And let's be encouraged by their words. If I pause or miss some words out, because you'll see them on the board, that's because I can't pronounce them. If I pronounce them wrong, then you know what the right pronunciation is. "They brought the Ark of God and set it inside the tent David had pitched for it." Here's a home for you, Lord. We want you to dwell. We want you to be in our midst, in other words. And they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. We give God the offering of our praise. After David had finished sacrificing burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he gave a loaf of bread and a cake of dates and a cake of raisins to each Israelite man and woman. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to extol, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. It's the same God that we serve. Asherah was the chief, and next to him in rank was Zechariah and Jezreel and him. And Obed-Edom and Jezreel, they were to pray. The lyres and the harps. Asherah was to send the sound the cymbals. And Benaniah and Jezreel, the priests, were to blow the trumpets regularly before the ark of the Lord, of the ark of the covenant of God. That day, David first appointed Asherah and his associates to give praise to the Lord in his manner. There was priests that were appointed. Now, for me and you, we are called priests of the Lord. So we have that responsibility to praise him. We have that responsibility. We have that command to praise him. Give thanks to the Lord is what scripture tells. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. And that's something we can do. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts, God is good. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. This is good stuff. Look to the Lord and his strength. Something that we can do. Seek his face always, not sometimes, but always. Remember the wonders he has done, the miracles and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, that's us, the descendants of Israel, has his chosen one, the children of Jacob. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the promises he made for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree. Let it be so, in other words, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. Everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, get this, when they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, in the land, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Not just once, but day after day. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deed among the people. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Let's just pause there because I haven't seen this before. Strength and joy is in his dwelling place. Where does he dwell? In us. Strength and joy are in us. That's something to praise him for. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established and it cannot be moved. It will only move if he says move. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. This is the portion I want to read. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God our Saviour. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, the glory of your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, from the beginning to the end. Then all the people said, Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2:4. As you come to him, the living stone, this is Jesus, rejected by humans, but chosen by God, and precious to him, precious to God. You, also like living stones, being built into a spiritual house. You see, it's not just my words, it's his words. Built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. To you who believe, Christ is precious. This stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and the stone that causes people to stumble, and the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they are disobedient. The message, which is also the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. You're a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see, whatever you have going wrong with you, you've already received the answer to the question. Whether I am well fed or I am hungry, Jesus is the same God, isn't he? Whether I am rich or whether I am poor, he is the same God. We are to give him praises. Why? Because he dwells within us, and we are being built into a spiritual temple. We are priests of him. We are co-heirs and heirs. Ambassadors that have the privilege of sharing. In Hebrews 11 verse 6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those that earnestly seek him. So just picture back to the scripture we started with. The 10 men had to believe that he was who he says he was. They had to earnestly seek him. They had to find him, didn't they? They had to come down from their hiding place, come into the valley where he was, and they had to stand at a distance knowing that he could hear them cry. They had to earnestly seek him. So there will be times, Christian, child of God, that we will have to earnestly seek him in order to find what he wants to say to us. There are times we just open our Bibles and God speaks to us. There are times where we need to seek his face and say, Lord, is this your word to me? Is this your encouragement to me? Is what I'm being told from the pulpit of churches, through the media, through what other men and women are saying, is it true, Lord? Speak to me. Earnestly seek him and you'll find him. Without faith, it's impossible, as I say, to please God. Final scripture, and then we'll finish in worship and praise. Before I say that, the 10 lepers had to have, I suggest, faith to believe that something was going to happen when they went to the priest. Would you say so? They had to. They must have heard about Jesus. They must have heard that when he laid hands some time ago, he laid hands on the leper. And that was unheard of, wasn't it? Jesus loves humanity so much that he'll stoop down and he'll lay hold, he'll wash feet. Jesus did everything upside down, back to front and inside out. He would say to the religious, "You whitewash tombs." He was not politically correct, was he? He was despised. He was full of power, but full of mercy. Mercy, grace, is undeserved favour. It means we don't deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway. Here were 10 men who had no right to anything, but they asked, and they received. And the miracle, I suggest, came when they went. So, for us as Christians, don't be downhearted. Be encouraged that God calls us to praise him in the good times and the not so good times. He calls us to pray in a way that we have faith to believe that he will answer. We don't know when and we don't know how, but we know he will. And there's so many times that we can look back in our lives and say, "I'm so glad you didn't answer the prayer the way I expected it to be answered." I've not ever done this, but just hypothetically, I see a girl and I go, "Oh God, I want to marry her. Please let me marry her." And then 10 years later, I'm thinking, "Oh my goodness, thank you, Lord, that I didn't marry her." You see, we don't know, do we? If God answered all our prayers, then would it make us happy? I don't think so. He knows what's best for us, but he calls us to pray anyway. And then whatever he gives us is what we need. Final scripture here is in Matthew 5, verse 45. And it's just to say this, that you may be children. Let's just go up there. "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you." That's a hard word, isn't it? But this is the truth of God's word. "That you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." So when we go back to the story of the 10 lepers, we could be indignant over the 9 that didn't come back. But we need to understand that the sun shines on the good and the bad. That God shows mercy to those that ask. That God reveals himself to those that seek him. That Jesus will, at this moment, in this particular portion of scripture, at that moment he came not to judge, but to save. He still comes not to judge, but to save. To those that will seek him. To the lost that can be found, to the blind that can see, to the deaf that can hear his call. But we as Christians are not called to judge in God's place. We are called to show mercy. We are called to pray for our enemies. We are called to give a drink of water to the thirsty, a crust of bread to the hungry. We are called to pray for Ukraine and Russia. We are called to pray for both. God's the one who judges, isn't he? And that's a good thing, isn't it? So be encouraged, church, today as we close. Be encouraged with the story of the 10. Be encouraged by the one who came back. And not only did he receive his physical healing, I believed he received something much more precious. So you might feel there's times where you're the only one in the family. You're the only one in church that gives. You're the only one in the prayer meeting that prays. You're the only one in the study group that studies. You're the only one in the worship team that praises. Be of good cheer. When we think we're on our own, God says this: look up. You see, there's more of us than there are of them. There's more with you than without. So be encouraged as we close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your word, because it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, give us the ability this day, this week, this year to praise you in the good times and the not so good times, believing that the miracle will come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.